أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا بما أنزل الله قالوا نؤمن بما أنزل علينا ويكفرون بما وراءه وهو الحق مصدقا لما معهم قل فلم تقتلون أنبياء الله من قبل إن كنتم مؤمنين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم ما بعد. Once again everybody, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are now on ayah number 91. I'll roughly translate it for you first. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. When it is said to them, believe in what Allah has sent down. They respond, قَالُوا نُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. We believe in what was sent down as a mandate on us. I'm using as a mandate on us because عَلَى is used. Okay. Again, alluding to responsibility. وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ. And thus they disbelieve in whatever may be beyond it. Meaning whatever is ahead of it, meaning Quran, they disbelieve. They're not interested. وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. And it is the truth confirming what they have. And that's a little bit of a loaded statement. الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. We'll dig into it a little later. قُلْ, say, or ask rather, فَلِمَا تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Then why do you kill Allah's prophets? مِنْ قَبْلِ, from much before, in كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, if in fact you are believers. There are lots of interesting complexities inside of this ayah. As we travel through it, we're going to see them. Notice though that from the previous ayah, this is a continuity. In the previous ayah, when Allah Azza wa Jal described that they are, you know, they've sold or made a transaction, now we're noticing that even their general public is defiant now. And they're not willing to listen to the calls that are being made to them. If you look at the first phrase here, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, when it's said to them, believe in what Allah has sent down, it's the phrase qila, when it's said, it's passive. Oh, like who's saying? Allah doesn't mention who's saying. And the suggestion there is it's being said to them from all directions. Like sahaba are saying to them, maybe their conscience is saying to them, maybe like, you know, the voice inside them is speaking, or Allah is directly saying to them, like aminu bima anzaltu musaddiqan lima ma'akum. Quran is saying directly to them, believe in what Allah has sent down. It could also be that their own Torah is saying it to them. They're reading Torah and it's saying, believe in this Quran. Like it's coming to them from multiple sides. They're being hit with this message of believing. And of course, the most immediate meaning is Sahaba, the Rasul himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is going out of his way to go and invite them and tell them, why don't you believe in what Allah has sent down? That is the core of the discourse with them. Then notice again, there's a repetition of something I alluded to before, bima anzal Allah, believe in what Allah sent down. What makes this call valid is that it's from Allah. This is what you're being invited to. Yes, it's on the tongue of an Arab, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, it is a criticism of what you've been doing. It is all of those things. But above and beyond everything else, it's valid because it's from God. It's from Allah. Notice their answer. By the way, this is not a question. They're being told, Aminu bima anzalallah. Believe in what Allah sent down. That phrase, if you heard it, like for example, in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا آمِنُوا and آمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مَنْ رَحْمَتِهِ, like in Surah Al-Hadid. Those of you who believe in the Messenger. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ. Have taqwa of Allah and have iman in His Messenger. We don't find that offensive. When Allah says, have iman, we understand that means rejuvenate your faith, refresh your faith, commit yourselves to your faith. And that's not an offensive thing. And it's not like Allah is saying, you don't believe. When Allah tells the believers to have iman, He's not saying you have kufr, therefore have iman. He's saying, live up to your faith. Genuinely, you know, refresh your faith. But when they're told, aminu bima anzal Allah, they got paranoid. Like, are you saying that we don't believe in what Allah sent down? And so what did they respond with? They said, nu'minu, we do believe. We do believe. That would have been a good answer. But they didn't stop there. They said, nu'minu bima unzila alayna. We believe in what was sent down as a mandate on us. Now I want you to compare carefully. The call to them was, believe in what Allah sent down. The response is not, we believe in what Allah sent down. That's not how they responded. They removed Allah from the equation. They said, we believe in what was sent down. So that already has a problem because they've removed Allah from the conversation because that's not their priority. If that was a priority, Quran is no problem. The other is that they've added a layer of ambiguity to the word unzila, whatever was sent down. And because we know already from previous ayat and previous discourse that they've mixed in what was sent down with other things. And they've attributed it to Allah. But now they've been shaken a little bit. Yeah, everything that's been sent down. But there's one distinction. We of course believe in revelation, what was sent down. But the only thing that makes it valid for us is alayna. So they add the word alayna. Nu'minu bima unzila would have been enough too. We believe in what was sent down. That's a good answer. But when you say nu'minu bima unzila alayna. No, we believe in what was sent down. But it has to be the stuff that was sent exclusively to us because we have the birthright to revelation. That's particular to us. If that's the case, then yeah. You can have Quran, and even if it's, we're not saying it's not from Allah, but we don't care. That's not ours. Ours is Torah because it came down on us. That's all we need. Remember I told you before about people who are satisfied with what they have, they don't need to consider anything else? They don't need to open their eyes to anything else. And so, by the way, if this is the case, if the criticism of Quran is that they don't even consider anything else. They don't even open their eyes to evidence that's being offered. You can't make that criticism and you don't live by it yourself. So the Muslims are being told, you have to have such insight into your faith that when some people, others, Christians, Jews, others, try to offer you the evidences of their faith, you are willing to consider. Listen. Tell me, hatu burhanakum. Please bring your evidences. Quran invites you. I'd love to consider what you have to say. Not with a skeptic or like a, I'm going to reject everything you say. Let's openly talk. Maybe there's some good in what you're saying too. I'm willing to consider. Because a lot of what they have, there are parallels between the revelation that was given to them, because it's the same source, it's from Allah. Yes, there are changes that have been made. But there are other things that are the same as what we were given. So let's talk. I'll even agree with you. I'm willing to listen. This is actually supposed to be the attitude of a Muslim. But when Muslims become Israelite in their mindset, Israelite meaning it's been passed down generation to generation, we don't need to question, we just follow, we don't think about this stuff. Thinking about this stuff will mess you up, you'll become a kafir, shaitan will get you. When you don't think about your faith anymore, when you're not willing to discuss it anymore, learn it anymore, enhance yourself anymore, ponder and reflect anymore, then you become just like this. And unfortunately, how much of the ummah today, they even go out of their way to say, don't even read the translation of the Quran, it'll mess you up. This exact thing was the problem of the nations before, that distanced themselves from the word of Allah. And I don't say that you should just read translation and become a mufassil. I don't say that either. But I do say if the ummah is not constantly encouraged to enhance, and if, you know what, if people are just reading a translation and asking crazy questions, that's a good thing. I say that's a good thing. At least they're asking questions. Then becomes the job of the scholars and the job of the teachers of this religion to answer those questions. How come the Quran says this? How come it says this? I think it says that. And then the alim says, actually no, that's not what it means and let me tell you why. Now there's an intelligent conversation happening between people and scholars about the faith. But to tell the people, don't even ask questions. Don't read. Just take what we're saying and that should be good enough for you. Then you're going to end up in this situation. It's good enough what we have. Nu'minu bima unzila alayna. And this is not how you keep a faith. I was so fascinated. There was when I was in college, my first sociology class in New York. It was a New York City sociology class. Crazy class. And I used to live in Queens. I used to work in Brooklyn. And to get to Brooklyn all the way at the end, like, Foster Avenue, oh my god, it was such a long 2-hour train ride from Forest Hills, Queens to get there. And when you go on the way, there's some very strong Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods. There are neighborhoods where, like, Saturdays is like a ghost town, right? And then you start seeing, like, the rabbis in their uniform come out, right? And it's like you're in Tel Aviv or something. The signs are in Hebrew, everybody's like, even the cops, like they have their special cops. Everything's like, they're very Jewish in their outlook, in their neighborhoods, in their yeshiva institutes. the whole thing. It's a very well-established community. I'm in the sociology class. My sociology professor says, in about 50 years, there won't be any synagogues in New York. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I mean, look at this. He's like, yeah, it's the same thing with the Catholic Church. Because, you know, I used to go to college in the city, we used to pass by, there's a church on 20th Street and 6th Avenue. It's a club. It's a nightclub. It's a Catholic church. It's prime real estate. This is Manhattan we're talking about. This is like tens of millions of dollars at least, if not in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Classical architecture. It's preserved. It's like a protected site. And it's a nightclub. And he's like, yeah, they're not able to keep their next generation. Their next generation, there's a lot of churn because their next generation has questions about why should they believe. And they're not able to answer those questions, and they're getting exposed to a modern education, and they're just leaving the faith in droves. When you have a religious tradition that refuses questions, and it wants to preserve a tradition because it's a tradition, then you are, in this day and age, you're going to lose the next generations. Guaranteed. That's a guarantee. And so, you know, Allah says that they say very confidently that we already believe what was sent on us. That's what we need. That's good enough for us. And then وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ and they deny whatever is beyond it. And what is beyond it isn't just Quran, it's also Injil. I was making reference to that in the last lecture. They already rejected the entire revelation of Isa alayhi salam. That was sent specifically to them. So when they say that they believe in what was sent onto them, they didn't even believe what was sent directly onto them, which was the Injil. They've denied that too. But on top of that also, the Qur'an. And so Allah adds, وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. And what they've been sent is the ultimate truth. It is the truth. In other words, if they gauge it, if they look at it, they'll see that it's haqq. الْحَقُّ لَا يُنَافِي لَا يُخَالِفُ الْحَقِّ. If what they have is true, and they study the Qur'an, they're gonna see the two match up, line up. This is not a coincidence. This has to be from the same source. This has to be from Allah. Ironically, it is the truth. But Allah didn't stop at وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. He said وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا. It's a hal, which is an unusual thing to do in a jumla ismiya, to add a hal in a nominal sentence. Now let me tell you a little bit about the idea, the concept behind hal, and what it's doing here. And inshallah, hopefully that'll give you some insight. The idea of sidq. Sidq is true, and haqq is true. Saddaqa, the verb, means to prove something true, or to confirm that something is true. Okay? Or to consider something true. When the Qur'an is called musaddiq, it means it takes part of the Torah, like the promises that were made that the final messenger will come. And they're like, when is he gonna come? It's been centuries. Now it's proven true. The promise of Torah has been proven true by the Qur'an. The Qur'an is fulfilling the prophecy made in the Torah. That's what it means by musaddiq. Please understand that musaddiq is not necessarily a phrase that describes everything in the Torah. In other words, the Qur'an does not prove that the entire Torah as they have it is true. But there are some things they have. Lima ma'ahum, what they have with them. There's some stuff they have with them that it's proving is true. The prophecy of a final messenger has proven true. There are pieces of the religion that they haven't corrupted still, and those it's still proving true. But not the whole lump sum. Because the Qur'an, for example, does tasdiq of Torah. The Qur'an proves that parts of Torah are true. But the Qur'an also proves that the parts of Torah have been corrupted. It's the takdeeb of some parts. It does the exact opposite. But what I really found fascinating here is the idea that, you know, the truth by itself should have been وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. But to add مُصَدِّقًا as a hal, what does hal do? I left that subject off, I'll explain it to you now. If I say in the English language, blue house, or even better, blue house. If I say a knowledgeable man, or a talkative girl, she may be sitting quietly at the airport waiting for a flight, and I called her what? A talkative girl. Is she talkative at that very moment? No, but her personality, watch out, step on the minefield, right? So, the quality is not manifest. It didn't come out. She has that quality, but it hasn't come out. Okay? That's an adjective. An adjective is something that a person possesses. In the case of a person, they possess it, but you don't necessarily see it. You can call somebody a patient man. They're sleeping. You don't see patients, they're just sleeping. You see what I'm saying? So you could give them a call, you could describe a quality of them, but you don't see, you don't experience that quality. Hal, however, in grammar, is an adverb. You experience it. You can see it in action. For example, if I say a man walking, walking is his hal. Do you see him walking? Yeah. Or if I say a man being patient, that's a man being patient. Does that mean that you don't see the patients, or you can see some of the patients right there? You can, right? Or the girl being talkative, then she's actually running her mouth. That's when I can say that, that's a hal. The Quran is described as al-haq. It's a book. It's described as the truth. But then it's called the hal. It's confirming previous revelation is a hal. What that means is it actively proves. You experience the fact that it proves and confirms the truth in previous revelation. And the fact that an ism is used, as opposed to وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ يُصَدِّقُ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ, that could be a hal too. But an ism is used, suggesting it continues to do so. And it does so over and over again. This is actually playing on something that was mentioned already. أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Revelation keeps on coming down, keeps on coming down. Every time it comes down, it proves more that it's confirming the promise of the Torah. It proves, it makes more of a case to the Jewish people of Medina that this is the messenger. Then it makes that case again, then it makes that case again, then it makes that case again. What they have with them is coming to pass over and over and over again. وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. It's a living proof. But then here, it's, you know, I may have mentioned this in this series, but it's critical here to understand. When we think of Torah, we think of a book. When we think of Quran, we think of a book. One book confirming the other book. And you're like, let's open the pages, let's, oh, this verse over here ties with this verse over there. This line over, this surah over here ties with this chapter over here. Like that, right? But no. When the Quran came down, it didn't come down as a book. The Quran came on the tongue of a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You couldn't separate this man from Quran. Like, if somebody thought of Quran back then, they heard in their mind, they heard the voice of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand? Like, you couldn't separate those two things. Now, you think of the Quran as a book, and you think of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a separate entity like Bukhari and Muslim and, you know, the Seerah and all of this stuff, right? But back then, this is one thing. It's merged. And so when Allah says that it is the truth, Allah is not just saying the ayat of the Quran that correspond to the ayat of the Torah, but actually the man living the ayat of the Quran is a living indication of what they find in Torah. That's why يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognize him like they recognize their own children. Al-Quran yamshi, like he's described. Quran walking around. The Prophet ﷺ became a living evidence of the promise of Torah. And so, yes, it's the revelation that's come to them. But Allah says in this ayah, وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَأَهُ. They deny whatever is beyond it. And it is the truth, meaning the messenger himself delivering the Quran. That is the ultimate haq. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ. Notice, this is actually, it's so beautiful in the sequence of the ayat. You have before this, كِتَابٌ مُصَدِّقٌ. كِتَابٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ. After this, you're going to find Rasulun min indillahi musaddiqun. A book that confirms. A messenger that confirms. And in the middle, truth that actively confirms. Because it's the book and the messenger together that actively confirm. That is al-haq at the end of the day. It's the combination of both of those things. And it's right in the middle. And so now, a little bit about lima ma'ahum. How come Allah didn't just say, it confirms Torah? He says, it confirms what they have. Some like Ibn Ashur and others suggested that ma'ahum may here be a reference to the fact that there are some ideas, some core ideas of Judaism, especially the Judaism of the people of Medina, that were commonly known among the people. Some ideas, like, you know, the average Muslim knows certain things about Islam. So the average Jew knew certain things. They all had it with them. The Prophet, even coming in contact with a knowledgeable Jew, or just a barely knowledgeable average Jew, will see a confirmation of something they have. That's the phrase, lima ma'ahum. Something in their conscience as a people of revelation will be activated. will see it synchronized with the personality and the words of the Prophet ﷺ, the revelation of the Quran. This is what will haqqu musaddiqan lima ma'ahum. Across the spectrum of the Jewish community, they're going to see him and they're going to recognize something that they have. It's going to resonate with them. Qul. And even though they're denying it, they don't want to look at anything beyond Torah. Ask them this hard question. فَلِمَا تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Why do you kill prophets of God? Why do you kill prophets of Allah? Notice once again, Allah didn't just say, why did you kill the prophets? يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ before. They killed prophets. Why say أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ? Make it a mudaf mudaf ilayh. Dream students are happy. They know about a mudaf mudaf ilayh now. You know, لِمَا تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ? Why do you kill the prophets of Allah? By mentioning the word Allah here, it's actually going back to Anzal Allah, Anbiya Allah. You, when you kill them, you think you're just killing a person. You disconnected your conscience from the fact that he was directly sent by Allah, just like the book you're denying that was directly sent by Allah. And this, by the way, you don't even condemn those prophets, those killings. When have you gone out of your way to condemn that what your ancestors did? You're so proud that you're the chosen people. You're proud of what they did. When they killed prophets, and by the way, the Quran says they killed prophets, you might think, well, the Torah never says they killed prophets. Yes, it does. The Torah describes some pretty vicious killings. It's far more graphic than the Quran. If you think that Quran is anti-Semitic, it's far more Semitic than the New Testament, as we will see. Isa alayhi salam is mad. He's from, you know, he's not from Bani Israel, but he's sent to Bani Israel. But he's sent to them, his mother's from them, and his words to them, even the ones that are found today, they make Quran look very gentle towards the Jewish people. How come you, and by the way, notice the present tense. Why do you kill? How come Allah didn't say, why did you kill prophets? Because they don't kill them now, they killed them a long time ago. But Allah says, why do you kill prophets of Allah? Suggesting almost that you have continued that tradition and you're even willing to do so with the Prophet in front of you, which is who? Muhammad Rasulullah. But, just letting you know, even if you want to kill him, just like you've tried to kill those that came before you, and they made the same attempt with Isa alayhi salam, right? And they actually think they got him. They got him. And they've killed those that came before. But this time, let me just let you know, even though the present tense is used, Your successful attempts at killing them are a thing of the past. Why? Because even though the present tense is used, تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ Allah, what is qualifying it as a matter of the past now? It will no longer happen again. مِنْ قَبْلِ. Which happened before. Much before. So by adding the مِنْ قَبْلِ, it's as though the plotters among them are being told, you can try all you want, you're not getting to this messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ.
If in fact you truly believe. So now, the beginning of this passage, we saw a violation of the message of Allah. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. They violate the message. By the end, they're violating the messengers of Allah. They're killing them. We saw كِتَابٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ رَسُولٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And at the end, when Allah says, how come you kill prophets if in fact you believe? إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. كَانَ in Arabic can do two things. In the Quran, Quran's unique usage, كَانَ can do two things. كَانَ can mean was. So if you've been believers, that's a fair translation, if you've been believers. And if you go with that translation, what that suggests is, if all this history, you've had a history of iman that you want to hold on to, because they said, نُؤْمِنُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. We believe in what was sent on us. We hold on to what we have. If you're so committed to God's revelation, why are you willing to kill prophets? You're saying all along, this was your iman? If in fact you do have iman? So Allah is criticizing now their history. By in kuntum mu'mineen. But in kuntum mu'mineen can also actually, kana could be a comment on haqiqah, if in fact you are believers. If in fact you are believers. I want to read something to you from Matthew again. This is attributed to Isa alayhi salam. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead. Who's speaking right now? Isa alayhi salam. To the Israelites. Go ahead then. Complete what your ancestors started. Because they're plotting to kill him. So he says, go ahead. Complete what your ancestors started. And then it gets a little politically incorrect. You snakes. You brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of you kill them and crucify, and others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue them from town to town. So upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of the righteous, Abel, meaning Habil and Qabil, right? To the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you probably reference to Zechariah alayhi salam, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I tell you, all this will come on this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. Oh man. Taqtuluna anbiya Allah. Allah just left it at, why do you kill prophets? The Bible went way further. It just went like, all out. I mean, this should be on CNN. Like, is the Bible anti-Semitic? I want you to appreciate the progression that's happening. The first thing they denied was revelation. The next thing they denied was this messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, and they said, no, we're denying them because we already have something. We have our own book. Allah says, if you have your own book, how come your history is full of what? Killing prophets. What kind of iman is this that you're so committed to that gets you to kill prophets? And of all the prophets you killed, of course, which prophet do they have the most respect for? Musa alayhi salam. Because Musa alayhi salam rescued them from the Pharaoh. Musa alayhi salam is the, they call him the lawgiver too. They don't call it Torah. In Hebrew they call it Torah Moshe. The Torah of Musa. So the one they have the most respect for is who? Musa alayhi salam. In the next ayah you'll see Allah will move the subject over to, okay fine, you killed prophets, maybe at least you showed respect to Musa. No, you didn't even spare Musa. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ Musa alayhi salam had already come to you with clear, self-evident proofs, miracles. Musa didn't just come to you with, do this and don't do this. This is halal and this is haram. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا He didn't just give you the covenant and said, worship God, be good to parents, take care of your neighbor, etc., speak nicely to people. He didn't just give you that. He gave you miracles. He gave you not just one, multiple miracles. You saw him perform miracles before the Egyptians. You saw him part the water. You saw the cloud that followed. You saw Manna and Salwa. You saw the waters, the springs come out. Bayyinat. You saw so many incredible things with Musa. Maybe you would have shown respect to Musa alayhi salam. ثُمَّ تَخَسْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ Then you held on to the calf for worship. Even after him. And مِنْ بَعْدِهِ could be for ta'ajjub. Like, shockingly, even Musa you didn't spare with all those miracles. You still worship, you still ended up in shirk. By the way, them committing shirk is a crime against who? Allah. The comment that was being made from the beginning. Believe in what Allah sent down. Why did you kill? Allah's prophets. You have to have proper regard for Allah. And then Musa alayhi salam rescues them. They have regard for Musa as their rescuer. But as soon as he goes to meet with Allah, behind him they go back to their pagan practices. You had no regard for Allah. Allah is demonstrating here actually that it's not the prophets they're against. It's not prophets they're against. It's Allah they don't care about. It's Allah that they're committing crimes against. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِبِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ They're not calling you a liar. They're debating against the ayat of Allah. You know? And so you'll find later on in the next halaqa, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ Fine. Then Allah's enemy. And so here, you started worshipping the calf. And مِنْ بَعْدِهِ could also mean immediately after. Not too long, Musa is gone, and all of a sudden your whole Islam disappeared. وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ And you, of all people, were doing wrong. ظُلْمٍ The Qur'an is shirk. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ Right? You, the people of Tawheed, the people that received Torah, the people who had Musa alayhi salam's da'wah, the people who saw Musa challenge Fir'aun, who used to say, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, you knew better than anybody else on the earth that God is one, that He should be worshipped in the right way. You people became zalim. Wa antum zalimun. And antum zalimun could be istitnaf also, which could be, you back then did this with, your ancestors did this with Musa alayhi salam, and you people are not much different, you're still zalim. I mean, you guys in Medina, you're not the ones that were with Musa, but you're not acting much differently. You know? This is, you're doing much the same. وَإِذَا خَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ And when we raised, when we took the contract from you, the covenant from you, the promise, the agreement from you, we took it from you. Mithaq is actually a little bit different from ahad in usage. It seems to suggest, wallahu a'lam, that mithaq is when Allah takes something. Like when the agreement is taken from Allah. You know? Was taken from them rather. So now, when we took this mithaq from you, this binding agreement from you, and when did we take it? وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ As we had raised, and we raised the tur, the massive mountain above you. We talked about this because this ayah has come before. What happened was, they either, literally some ulama say the mountain hovered in the air when Allah spoke to them. And this is after they had committed shirk. So Allah took the, you know, they were called, their leaders were called to speak with Allah, and then the mountain was raised above them and Allah was angry at them. Another suggestion is that there was kind of an earthquake and the boulders started falling, and they're at the foot of the mountain and boulders are falling and there's a cloud of dust, and this is kind of the imagery in the Bible also. And at that moment Allah says, خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Like they heard the voice of Allah say to them, hold on to what I have given you with all the strength you have, with great might, tafkhim, with great might. Hold on tightly to the book. Hold on, this is what you were told. And now Allah is not talking about you disbelieving in Quran. Allah is talking about, remember when I told you to take Torah seriously? خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. And if that wasn't enough to hold on to the book with great might, wasma'u, and listen. This is a pretty interesting addition. They're going to hold on to the book with great might. Good enough. Why add and listen? And listen. And Torah, by the way, is not an oral tradition. Torah was revealed tablet. So you would expect Allah to say, hold on to what I've given you and read. But instead Allah says, hold on to what I've given you and what? And listen. Wasma'u. So what could this isma'u imply? First thing it implies is, it seems to suggest that you people aren't very good listeners. You have to be told out, Allah goes out of His way to say, you people need to listen. You'll find over and over again in the criticism of the Jewish people and the hypocrites in the Quran. Two people that are parallel together, the Yahud of Medina, and the worst elements among them, and the hypocrites. The constant theme between them is they're not good listeners. ماذا قال آنفاً? What did he just say? واسمع غير مسمعين وهم لا يسمعون. They don't listen. They hear, but they don't hear. They mock. You know. So Allah says, this time listen for real. للامتثال. And by the way, listening in language can also be used for do it. Like I say, listen to what I'm saying. You better listen this time. When you say you better listen this time, it doesn't mean you better listen this time, it actually means you better obey this time. That's imtithal, to live by something. So now, you better be serious this time. But if you look at this, the mirror ayah that already came much before in the same surah, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ. Now it says, وَاسْمَعُوا. Before Allah said, hold on to this surah, and remember and mention what is in it. Now He's saying, and listen. Notice that there's actually a contrast. When you mention something, then you're the speaker. Like I'm mentioning something right now. What are you doing? Listening. There's two sides of the coin. Right now in this halaqa, I'm doing the dhikr, you're doing the sama'a. I'm doing the mentioning, you're doing the listening. With Torah, Allah said, hold on to it. And let me tell you how to hold on to it. You'll have to mention it. And others will have to what? Listen to it. And you're going to have to play both roles. There Allah mentioned وَذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ. Here He says وَاسْمَعُوا. And so this, the halaqa system of Torah, you're going to have study circles, gatherings where Torah is discussed, where you mention and you listen and you mention and you listen. This is how you will hold on to the Torah with great might. What is the lesson for the ummah? The lesson for the ummah is you don't just hold on to the Quran by putting it on a shelf, or even by reading it on your own. Quran is going to, the way for us to hold on to Quran is to be in gatherings where we listen and we mention and we listen and we exchange, we discuss, we learn, we come together in halaqat of Quran. This is a necessary part of holding on to the Quran with might. If this was applicable to them directly by Allah, why wouldn't it be applicable to us? وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ. And then here, wasma'u. And then of course the wasma'u, one of my favorites, I give it 2 stars, is actually, Allah didn't say listen to it. I'll take 5 minutes, guys. I'll be done. Listen to, instead of saying listen to it, meaning listen to darat, listen to what I've given you, he just said, and listen. Which means there's no object, there's no maf'ul mentioned. When you don't mention that maf'ul, what does it mean? It actually means not just listen to Tarat. Listen to your messenger. Listen to him too. Because you know, they would say, well, you know, just like the munafiqun would say, did Allah reveal this or is it you? They would tell the Prophet ﷺ. Did Allah reveal this or is this from you? The Jews did this with the Musa alayhi salam. Well, so what does Allah say? What color cow? Why don't you go get an answer first? You know? And they don't want to hear from Musa. Musa says, just slaughter a cow. But they don't want to listen to Musa. They say, no. You get an answer first. You get an answer. يُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Allah says, with the mountain hovering above them, you better listen. Meaning, listen to your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or in this, in their case, Musa alayhi salam. Just like the echoing of the famous prayer, the Jewish prayer, that repeats the phrase, hear ye, O Israel. Meaning, Musa says this over and over again. Hear ye, O Israel. So listen to what he says that to you. This is the part I'll conclude with, even though there's lots more to talk about, but it'll take too long and we'll be late for Asr. So I'll just give you one piece. قالوا, they respond. سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا Mountain is hovering above them. Allah says to them, you better listen. They said, we heard and we disobeyed. What? I mean, you could be stupid. But how stupid do you have to be that a mountain is hovering above you and somebody says, you better listen. And you say, I ain't gonna listen. We hear and we disobey. What's the logical conclusion of saying something like that? That's the end of it. Squish. That's actually not what this means. They didn't stand before Allah at the mountain and say, we hear and we disobey. What's he gonna do? That's not what happens here. That doesn't make any sense. There's something else going on here. But what is it after salah? Barakallahu wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.